In today's gospel, Simeon and Anna foresee the salvation that will come from the child presented in the temple. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A few days ago, I was talking to a young woman who works part-time at a pottery shop, gift shop. She was telling me this story about something that happened a few days before Christmas. She said this family came into the store, father, mother, a little girl, probably 7 or 8 years old, began looking around. Little girl sought her out. She was the salesperson. Little girl said to her, "Where is your Christmas pottery?" Because, she said, "I want to buy something for Yuletide." She said, "No, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I don't want anything to do with Hanukkah or any of those things. I want something for Yuletide." Well, the young woman didn't know what to say to her. She just kind of pointed her over to the pottery section for Christmas. But I thought it was interesting in thinking about that. This little girl, for her, this time of year was about Yuletide. Now, we know that term. We don't use it very often in this country. It's very prevalently used over in Europe. It really refers to an ancient pagan winter festival. Before the coming of Christianity, up in Scandinavia, down into Germany, the pagan tribes celebrated Yuletide. It was celebrated in connection with the winter solstice, the return of the sun. So the pagan peoples would gather and offer sacrifices to their gods, welcoming the sun back, so to speak, and praying for prosperity in the new year. Remember the Yule log? We talk about the Yule log. The Yule log was basically kind of a peat log, a log that was decorated with candles and all these kinds of things that was offered to these pagan gods. So I'm not saying this little girl and her family were pagans, but it's interesting where she would get this idea that this time of year was basically a winter festival, Yuletide, nothing more, a winter festival. Where did she learn that? Probably from her parents, right? In the home. That's where she learned it. And it just reminds me of the power of the family in transmitting values. The power of the family. When you think about what you believe today, your values, what you think is important in life, much of that, if you're honest, came from your family. You learned there, in your family, what life was all about. The family is powerful in transmitting values. So maybe today it's a good time for us on this Feast of the Holy Family to ask, what values are we transmitting in our families? Not just parents to children, that's very important, but adults to adults, husbands to wives, wives to husbands, siblings, adult siblings to adult siblings. What do we transmit in our family by way of values? What do we teach by who we are? Remember, I think I've used this example with you before, but in that great Broadway musical, Into the Woods, that song, children will listen. Careful the things you say. Children will listen. Careful the things you do. Children will see and learn. That's not just true of children, though. It's true of us adults. We watch each other. We see what each other does. We learn and listen and we do as others do. So what values are we transmitting in our families? Do you think today, for example, when we see Jesus after being presented in the temple, he goes down with Mary and Joseph to Nazareth. Do you think he learned from Mary and Joseph? Of course he did. We're told by St. Paul that he was human in us, like in everything but sin. That means in his humanity, he had to learn. Where did he learn? In the home. So what do we transmit by way of values in our homes? Imagine the following conversation around a dinner table. Somebody sitting there in the family dinner says, look at that nice in-ground swimming pool that the Smiths, our neighbors, just put in next door. What a beautiful in-ground swimming pool. Look what we got. We got that old up above ground rickety thing that leaks. You know what? We need an in-ground pool. We really need an in-ground pool. What's being taught there? Or again, another conversation. Remember how I told you that so-and-so at work really screwed me over? I'm going to get back at that person. You know how I'm going to get back at that person? This is what I'm going to do. What's being taught there? Or again, you know that job I did for so-and-so, that he paid me under the table. I'm not going to declare that on my income tax. Or again, imagine a family in which the word God is never used in the home, except as a curse word. Children don't say evening, don't say bedtime prayers. They don't pray grace. There's no conversation at all where God is part of the conversation. Only word that's ever used, God's ever used in the home is by the curse. What's being taught? On the other hand, think about a family where all of that is just reversed. Everything has changed. Just the opposite of all that. What's being taught there? But the question for you and me today is, what are we teaching in our families? What are we modeling? What values? What are we passing on? Not only to our children, but to one another as adults. Let me conclude with a little something I became aware of a few years ago now. It's a song. I'd invite you to go home today, look it up online, listen to it. The title of the song, just Google online the title of the song. Where's the line for Jesus? Where's the line for Jesus? Google it. The story behind that song is very interesting. A few years ago, this grandfather and his grandson were in the mall a few days before Christmas. The mall was crowded, of course. They were in the center court area where Santa was. There's Santa. And there's a huge line, of course, of parents and children waiting to see Santa. And they're all, so the grandfather and his little grandson are watching all this. All of a sudden, the grandfather feels a tug on his sleeve, and he looks down, and his grandson says to him, "Grandpa, where's the line to see Jesus? Where's the line to see Jesus? Is he in the store? Is he here in the store? It's his birthday. Where's the line to see Jesus?" Where do you think that little boy learned that? Wasn't in a public school. Where did he learn it? His family, right? From his family. So the grandfather was so moved by this, he went home and he wrote this song. Ultimately, it was recorded, I think, by another member of the family, actually. Go home and look at it. Listen to it. Very, very beautiful. Part of the lyric goes, it's not exactly what the little boy said, but captures what the little boy meant. The lyrics is, "Where's the line to see Jesus? Is he here in the store? It's his birthday, after all. We should line up to see him." Then these words, "Santa gave me presents, but Jesus gave his life for me. Santa gave me presents, but Jesus gave his life for me." Where's the line to see Jesus? From a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, who learned it where? In his family. So today, I invite you to go look at that song online. Very nice. But as you do it, ask yourself this question: what am I doing in my family? What values am I passing along? What values am I modeling? In other words, in your home, is there a line to see Jesus? In your home? May God bless you.